Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. And in this episode, we're going to talk all about how to create a successful test automation strategy. But first, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. So I was at HP Discover a few months ago now, and I met a company, Gallup, that had a booth there and ended up talking to them and learned that they actually implement lots of automation strategies around the globe as one of the services they provide. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to get someone on the show that actually their business is implementing automation and following an automation strategy to find out what the best practices are, what they're doing to make their project successful. So in this episode, we're going to be speaking with the president of Gallup, Kalyan Rao Khanda. So Gallup is actually one of the largest companies that actually specializes in providing test services. So Kalyan is going to share with us his deep insight gleaned from his years of automation experience, as well as his company's extensive experience implementing hundreds of successful automation efforts around the world. So today, you're going to discover what it takes to implement your own successful test automation strategy. Check it out. Hey, Kalyan. Welcome to Test Talks.
Hey, Joe. Thank you for having me on the Test Talks, and I really appreciate it.
Awesome. It's great to have you on the show. But before we get into it, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure, Joe. So I actually started my career in software testing probably about 17 years before. I actually started my career in test automation and wrote a lot of test automation code using the Mercury Windrunner. Nice. That's how I started my career. You can call me somebody like a software testing career professional because my entire career was into software testing. Then, I worked at a software development company for a number of years, at the one of the big ERP company for the initial part of my career. Then I started working for a very large IT services company. And then I worked for App Labs. App Labs was then the world's largest independent testing company before it was acquired by CSE. At App Labs, I was running the global delivery team of almost close to 2,500 people and spread worldwide, multiple geographies. And after that, I joined Cigniti Technologies, which is the world's third largest independent testing company. And then Cigniti acquired Gallup, which is, again, one more company that is specialized in providing independent software testing services. And then as part of that acquisition, I came to Gallup. And right now, I work in the capacity of president for Gallup Solutions.
Awesome. So I know you have a lot of experience with automation. And also, that's what your company specializes in, is in automation. So I was thinking maybe today we'd focus on maybe best practices and lessons learned from implementing so many test automation frameworks.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that some of the things that we're seeing in the marketplace is that one thing is that people approach test automation more of a technical aspect, and they actually forget the business side of it. You know, often we had to remind our clients that test automation is like any other investments, and then you need to have a clear strategy of how you are going to get benefited from test automation? So do you have a business plan in place of the investments that you are making into test automation? Most of the times I see that people end up automating, you know, wrong applications and probably in the wrong way. And that sort of, you know, gives them a view that the entire test automation is a failure, and it gets stuck in their mind that we can never really make this work and it's not really for us. What we often advise is that, based on my experience, what I see is that test automation is a business topic as much as it is a technical topic. And we need to have a strategy ahead in place in terms of what applications we want to automate, how much to automate, and carefully selecting the tools, technologies that need to be in place.
Excellent. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I've seen it at certain companies already with behavior-driven development, where they're using it as just an automation framework and not really using it for the collaboration piece. And what they have then is they end up creating this technical framework over BDD, and it's not really adding value and it's brittle. So I definitely agree with you being able to identify the reasons why you're automating something and not just automating something for the sake of automation. That's a great point.
Absolutely. Absolutely so. And one more thing that that we often also see, especially in large product development companies and also in large enterprises like banks, insurance, and healthcare, these kind of companies, is that lots of these companies, they sort of organized in business units by product development groups and things like that. So what often results in is that everybody sort of automating in their own way and using different set of tools, and probably not really consistent in the way that they're doing things. I for one believe that a single tool or a single approach cannot solve all the problems, but you do need multiple tools and frameworks. I'm not saying that all the different divisions has to use the same thing, but what we see is that lack of that enterprise-wide test automation framework or a philosophy that sort of brings all these tests together so that organizations can benefit from collaborating the various test automation assets that they're actually building across the enterprise.
Yeah, once again, another great point. I definitely agree. I work for a large enterprise. I see this issue every day. And it makes sense to get everyone on the same tool set, or at least everyone using the same approach to automation. So one group, even though they're siloed, may be able to help another group. And it's kind of seamless if they're using the same, even this, just the same terminology and the same type of framework setup. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my question then for you is, how do you, when you approach a large enterprise and you have to implement automation, how do you determine what tools they need? Or how would someone that works for a large company be able to say, okay, how do I find out what automation tools I need that's going to be able to meet the needs of my fellow enterprise workers that are around me?
Sure, Joe, that's a great question. So I would say that we would actually look at multiple aspects. One thing that we really want to look at it is that the overall product roadmap, right? And whether the product or the application that we are planning to automate, is it its end of use, or this is something under active development, right? There is no point in trying to automate something which probably is going to retire in 6 months to 1 year time frame, because the value of automating a test on a product like that, which essentially will go out of business or is going to be replaced with something else that is of little value. And another thing that we would look at it is that the types of tests that they have and what types of tests that they're planning to automate. So we actually see that there are instances where we see that, you know, people just want to automate sometimes the easy stuff because it is easier to automate, not necessarily take a view of what makes sense to automate, you know, what are the types of tests to automate, and how many of these tests that I'm going to have an opportunity to execute them, right? I think it has to be based on the frequency at which the test needs to be executed, and also the value of executing these tests. And another thing that we would also look at is sort of a compatibility of a tool and with the technology stack that you're planning to automate. There is no point. Sometimes we see that there are certain tools that can automate certain types of technologies much better than others. And it is just because of the way the tool was born. Every tool was born out of a need for addressing a certain situation, a particular technology. So that is another thing that we would look at. And another thing that we would also look at is that we see a lot of enterprises, and all the enterprises, they both are using .NET as well as Java. But if you closely look at it, there are enterprises that are using one technology more than the other. So if you really want to derive the benefits of test automation across the enterprise, and what we need to ensure is that not only the test team benefits from this automating test, but we could also have developers integrate, include some of these tests as part of their test, or probably have business analysts run some of these tests. Then what you're doing is that you are actually promoting the uses of test automation and indirectly getting their ownership, and also, they're being part of that whole process. So those are some of the aspects that we consider before recommending a certain tool.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with that approach also. I guess it's really challenging because if you start making decisions based on the enterprise, assuming that everyone's going to use the framework, and you build it up using, say, Java or C#, and then it turns out that only testers use it anyway, you probably would have been better off using like Python or Ruby, because for me, a Java C# kind of solution is sometimes overhanded. So I guess, like you said, you need to find out what the roadmap is, have the buy-in from the higher-ups for the vision to make sure that you're not overbuilding, I guess. If it ends up only your testers are going to be using it, you probably would be better off using like Python or Ruby. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is correct, Joe. I think we have to start with the end goal in mind, and a programming language is not the goal at the end of it, right? The end goal is basically be able to automate as many tests we can, and then ability to build them quickly and ability to run them often. These are some of the things, right? Basically, the automating the test itself is not a goal. It's like, what are we going to achieve by doing this test automation? So I think if you keep that as the end goal in mind, I think the programming language itself, of what programming language would you choose to automate what, in that context, that becomes relatively easy.
So I guess also it sounds simple, but even like you said, just asking for the roadmap, because I actually made this mistake recently where we started a new project and I had just assumed that it was going to be all modern web development using AngularJS. So, we chose Selenium. And then it turns out a year and a half later, 2 years later, they start integrating thick client applications with this web app. And of course, Selenium can't handle it. So it's just a minor, it seems like a small thing, but just even having a roadmap before you plan out anything would make a big difference.
Absolutely. And one more thing that we're also seeing in the marketplace is that the whole test automation is more like an afterthought. People just build their applications and then they start identifying, hey, what is the test tool out there that can support my technology stack? And in the end, we end up with not being able to automate certain applications to the fullest extent that we want to, because the applications are not built with testability in mind, right? They're not thinking about, okay, we are building it, that's good, but would we be able to test it as well? I mean, how many development organizations are asking that question right in the requirements phase? I think that's what we need.
Well, that is one of my biggest pet peeves, is when people say, companies say, we want 80% automation, and yet when they develop the code itself, they don't make it automatable. And I think you really do, like you said, at the architecting phase, to say developers need to make their code automatable. You need to bake automation into the code to make it easy to automate later on. You can't just wait until the last minute and say, now automate this. You really need to have a thought and effort in it. It is part of the development life cycle, so you should really incorporate it just like you would any other software development practice.
Absolutely. The way that I look at test automation is that it's basically you are building, you are actually writing code to test code. So which means that the code itself that we write has to be architected and designed that whole code quality has to be absolutely no less than the actual application code that is being written in terms of the overall quality, be it reusability, maintainability, reliability, all these aspects. So if we actually approach that with a mindset, as a overall, as a test automation engineers and the community will also gain tremendous amount of respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Another great point. I definitely agree with that. So would you say that's how you would make automation maintainable? A lot of times I've seen that companies maybe have a company come in and create a framework for them, and then the company leaves, and then they're left with the framework that no one knows how to use, or over time it's not maintainable. So how would you make an automation framework maintainable? Just like we've said so far, is just make it part of the development process?
I would say some of these aspects around maintainability, particularly some of the projects that we executed around Selenium, we sort of saw a lot of benefit of using a page object model. I think that sort of helped us to maintain it well. And another piece that I would like to mention is part of this whole maintenance is having to identify and then organize the entire code base, and probably keep your logging separate, keep your driver separate, keep your business logic separate, keep some of your reusable functions separate, just sort of, being able to identify the different components and having a place each one of them, and then also make the ability to integrate. So that way, if there is a way that we'll have to always think about ways of separating the business logic from data and data from the objects, basically your GUI objects information and some of the other infrastructure components. So we should always think about these different components as separately. So that way you would then be able to reduce your maintenance. If the business logic changes, then you don't have to meddle with code throughout. You just go and look at those business objects. If the user interface changes, but the business logic did not change, then only go and look at that whole GUI objects part and also that the whole test environment things. Like, right now, with all these mobile applications coming up and the app is expected to run on multiple operating systems and screen sizes and different device manufacturers and all of that. So the whole test environment, the details have to be kept outside as well. I think it's really understanding the variables as part of the overall ecosystem that you're in and keeping those and grouping them in a way that when any of these things changes, you just have to go and change it to one place rather than, trying to repair each script that you have built.
Absolutely. That's a great point, separating things out. Also, I find issues with data management. People hard coding data, assuming it's going to be in an environment, and they go to a new environment, of course, it doesn't work. So you have any tips for data management for test data?
Some of the test automation projects that we have done, especially that required a lot of test data issues, we actually benefited a lot from separating it out, separating master data versus from transactional data. And also that we would actually written scripts to sort of get the base state for the application and also writing some scripts to clean up some of this transaction data that was entered right after the execution was done. Those sort of things really helped us a lot rather than trying to deal with the data that is already existing into the system.
Awesome. So, like I said, you've worked with a lot of clients. Are there any new technologies that you're seeing that you think most testers need to be aware of in the next coming years?
What we're seeing in the marketplace definitely, Joe, is that if you really look at it, like probably 10 years before, And there were a lot of these client server applications. Now it's hard to find client server applications, and now most of them are browser based applications. With that, what happened is that even the programming languages that are used to develop some of these applications have changed significantly. And also the methodology that is used to develop these browser-based and mobile-based applications, it's mostly now, agile, I would say type of agile. People, everybody is adopting a different version of agile, but all it means is that ability to get a product or an application out of the door pretty quickly, multiple iterations and stuff like that. So what that means is that the test teams are definitely have to, do test automation. I think those were the days probably we could survive without test automation. I think now the test automation is essential, right? Without which, in the overall ecosystem, the test team may become a bottleneck, right? And then you run the risk of people questioning the existence of the test team if they don't become efficient. That is something that we are seeing in the marketplace. Like, there are going to be a lot of clients asking us to automate it early and run these tests early on in the life cycle, and also provide very high coverage, and so that they would like to get a feedback about the quality of the application early rather than later.
Absolutely. So I've seen a lot. I guess they call it shift left. A lot of companies shifting left, getting involved in the development as early as possible in the development life cycle, and the continuous integration, continuous deployment. So you see more and more companies going that way?
Yes, I see a lot of companies going that way. And also that the programming languages that people are using to automate right now, I think lots of organizations, they would like test engineers to be really technical. I mean, you call them as a dev testers now, and then also as dev. I think that phenomena is really picking up, and probably it is good for the industry overall, because then it gives as a test automation community and a practice a better visibility, because then we have an opportunity to get involved early on in the product development lifecycle and add significant value, because getting involved early on gives the teams a tremendous advantage of knowing what's going to happen, and also ability to influence some of the decisions that the overall team is making, and also show the value add really early, and you can add significant contributions. I would like to call it as this phenomena can help us being a upstream quality co-maker as opposed to downstream subcontractor.
Yeah, it's a good point. I guess the only thing I'm concerned about, and I've seen this with some other companies or other teams, is where they focus so much on automation that they think that automation equals quality. And a lot of the people that aren't really technical, the old school QA people that really can find in-depth bugs based on analyzing certain workflows, we kind of are missing that now. So it's almost lopsided, where before it was really QA heavy, where you had a separate group, that's all they did. Now it seems that we're going all towards automation, it seems like we almost are losing the benefit of some hardcore QA practices, where it's not just about automation, it's actually looking at outside the box, trying different things as a user to see if the application really is working as you expect it to.
Absolutely. It's going to be always a combination of very high-end intellectual manual testing and test automation. It's that combination. And most of the times, we often see that actually, somebody writes a big check to one of these test tool vendor, and then hoping that all those quality problems are going to go away right now because we made this huge investment in test tools, and the test tools is going to cure all our quality issues. I mean, that's never going to be the case, right? And so the test tools, they only automate the execution part, but the intellectual component of testing is really in the strategy, design, and reporting, and exploring the application. That is the real intellectual part. I mean, the tools cannot do that for you.
Absolutely. Definitely agree with that. So if someone's new to test automation or testing in general, are there any books or resources that you recommend?
I actually like the book that was written long ago, I guess. It is The Art of Software Testing. I really like that book. And another book that I liked is Lessons Learned from Software Testing. And also Sticky Minds. I think that's a great source of information. And also Ministry of Testing. And of course, I listen to all the test talks that are hosted by you.
Awesome. Great answer. So here's a question. If you were all alone, just for fun, what programming language would you choose to create a test automation framework in?
Actually, I sort of don't have a preference with respect to the programming language per se. It is all based on what the context demands. But what we're seeing in the marketplace is that especially the ones that are leveraging open source tools for the framework, most of them seem to be using, or we are creating most of the frameworks because it is often a joint decision with the client, is Java and Python as opposed to C#, in our world.
So I guess, we've talked a lot about open source tools, but do you ever see a tool like UFT ever going away, or QTP?
No, I don't think so. The way that I look at it is that, of course, we have to admit that Selenium had been gaining a lot of popularity over the past few years. And I guess what it did is that HP had the major market share, and I guess really the community was looking for a decent alternative. I think Selenium sort of filled that spot for the browser-based applications. If you really look at a large-scale enterprise, still you do have desktop applications, mainframes, and you have browser-based apps, then you have ERP, SCM, CRM, all these kinds of applications. So I don't think the Selenium can automate browser-based apps, but it cannot automate all the other things. So I really don't see that actually UFT going away completely. I think there is, there's still a lot of areas where UFT can play a role. However, I'm also excited about HP's new announcement around LeanFT.
Yep.
I think it's the right move, but I can't say that it's an early move, but I still think it's a good move.
Absolutely. I had the beta version. It's pretty awesome. And I think it's going to help a lot of people that work in an enterprise that do still have to test browser applications, but they still have to integrate with other non-browser type workflows. And I think it's really going to help with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, I think some of these new methodologies that are used to create applications like Agile and methodologies. And so I think part of the reason was also that VBScript probably nobody uses in nowadays. So yep. It was so old, it was so boring, and stuff like that. I think people would like to work on latest technologies. If you're still using VBScript at writing the test, and then you have a developer sitting next to you, and this guy is working on the latest programming language, and as a tester, you would want to have the ability to work on writing your test on some of the cool and modern programming languages. So I think since LeanFT is providing that option, I see that, there's going to be a lot of interest, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely agree. So we've talked a lot about functional UI testing. Have you seen any growth in non-UI testing, like REST testing or testing underneath the covers, especially as we shift left? Any thoughts on that?
Yes, especially around the web services testing. We didn't really have any test tools to do SDK kind of a testing. So I myself had built the custom test harnesses using C++ and other programming languages that time. I guess after the web services are in place, we are actually right now, as we speak, in number of engagements, we do leverage SOAP UI a lot, and with the combination of Groovy script.
Yeah, I really like SOAP UI for API testing. It's a really good tool. And like you said, it uses Groovy script, which is kind of like Java. So,
yes.
It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And also that, I guess the whole test automation, people still look at test automation, meaning only these, screen-based and functional test automation. I think the time has come that where we'll have to look at test automation in the broader context. Like, for example, anything that you are doing repeatedly, if there is a way that we can automate it, that should be called as a test automation. It could be your test data generation, it could be your test execution, it could be your test reporting, and things like that.
You know, that's such a great point. And it's actually overlooked a lot. I see people that they have data that's being generated, and they're manually, you know, creating reports based on that data when they could have just created, you know, a Python script to automate it for them. Richard Bradshaw, the friendly tester in episode 47 of Test Talks, talked about this concept of automation in testing, which I think really gives you a good mindset on what you're trying to do with automation.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, even test environments as well. Like, there are a lot of times I see people still manually, you know, creating all these environments and tearing them down and stuff like that. That looks so old and such a waste of time. I think you should really leverage all the cool stuff that is out there to really bring up whatever the environment configuration that you want. And, you know, there we used in some of our projects, we also used Browser Stack. It does such a good job of bringing environments, whatever that you want, literally in seconds. We should really get to a paradigm shift in terms of, you know, test early, test often, and test thoroughly. I think that's really important in the new scheme of things.
Definitely agree. Yeah, we use something called Sauce Labs, and I love Sauce Labs just for that very reason. So, Kalyan, before we go,
sure.
Is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve the test automation efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
The one thing that I would like to tell is that a lot of people are approaching test automation as a more of a technical topic. I would like to say that you have to really approach it as a combination of business and technology. And if you do that, you know, we would have a larger business sponsorship within the companies. That's one. The good way to approach me is for any questions or anything is on my email ID. That's Kalyan, Kalyan, @gallop.net, gallop.net.
Thanks, Kalyan, for sharing your test strategy automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/60. And while you're there, make sure to click on the More Info link to learn all about Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. And if you have a second, if you could leave a review in iTunes, that would be awesome. It's stuck at 29 right now, and for some reason I must have OCD. I have to see it go to 30. It's just 29 kind of freaks me out. So if you can help me out, head on over to iTunes, give us a rating, and hopefully leave a review. The reviews really do help in the rankings. They also help me learn what's working and what, more importantly, is not working for the show. And just a heads up, this Thursday, July 16th, I'm going to be a guest on HP Apply Tools webinar all about advanced cross-browser testing with Apply Tools Eyes and HP LeanFT. So if you want to see LeanFT in action, check out Apply Tools and their visual validation product, then you definitely want to check out this webinar. I'll have a link in the show notes to this, so just click on it and register, and I'll see you then. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.